You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. I am Billy Embody. With me is Ben Garrett from that little studio.
Yes.
The little house.
The little house that you can't see because my chair is too low now. The little house up top, Riverland Roofing. Our friends at Riverland power everything we do at Talk of Champions. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. They're the people, man. I love Billy and them, and they've been great to us. So, yes, Billy, good morning. It's been a minute since we've gone live together. I feel like we're going to have to go live together pretty much every day moving forward. But it always takes a place to start, and here we are back on a Wednesday to say, hey, how we doing?
Yeah. We're back at it, and look, like I feel like it's becoming a routine a little bit. Like we're getting there, and people are enjoying the live stuff, you know? It's gives you the instant viewing, and then you know our folks that are been following us on the audio version will get it right after because we turn it around quick.
I look forward to doing these live. We're just test running a bunch of stuff. We're trying a lot of new stuff at the Ole Miss Spirit, so I look forward to figuring out how to do this live stuff. Like for example, when I was sitting courtside with Murphy Holloway, you know, and we enjoyed a basketball game, going live from there, going live for gaming stuff. We're talking to Caden Lee about some gaming stuff we might do, live Twitch streams and stuff like that. The gaming piece is something I'm really excited about and something the Riverland's really pushing. And, you know, there's so much that we want to do, but the live capability, we had to just get off the schneid, stop making excuses, break the streak of, oh, well, we'll do it tomorrow and be live. So live is where it's going, and live is where we plan to be. And I'm going to go live from the Manny Passing Academy. I want to go live from spring ball. I want to go live from anything, anywhere, anything at anywhere that might pertain to Ole Miss. So, this has been fun.
We've got a lot to talk about when it comes to recruiting. That is what we're focused on today. Recruiting reset. March is here. Spring is right around the corner. And the dead period is now over. It is now the quiet period, Ben, which means no coaches on the road, but players can start stopping by campus. But I will say, spring break's right around the corner for Ole Miss, so it'll be pretty light on the visit front. But things are heating up, so let's give them a lay of the land of where things stand, shall we? Do I turn it over to you on the question front?
You do, because Billy, I love Zach Berry. Zach is no longer with us at the Ole Miss Spirit. Billy is now the recruiting guy. So just as I used to do on these things where we do like a recruiting crash course, like a Ole Miss Recruiting 101, and I would throw just random things at Zachary, I will now throw at Billy Embody as the voice of the fan. Not that I don't know these some of these answers necessarily. I don't know most of them, but
still, you know, early in 26.
Yes, it's that time. It's that weird time where the board is being set to a place where this is what you're going to have to follow for the next however many months. And it starts first and foremost. I wrote two stories on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate on three, yesterday about Ole Miss's quarterback situation. I wrote about Austin Simmons, how Ole Miss is recruited and built its roster to grow with and around Austin Simmons. And while traditionally replacing a three-year starting record-setting quarterback would be cause enough for tempered enthusiasm, Ole Miss has not operated that way. BetMGM has them at 8.5 as their over-under for wins. I currently say that's perfect. And go a little over. I think Ole Miss is a 9-win team if things go correctly and have the potential for more because Austin Simmons is the potential for more. But while Austin Simmons is that guy, is that first-time starter that is the program now that people are so excited about, they didn't sign a high school quarterback last year.
Right.
The transfer quarterback they added, Pierce Clarkson, was added specifically for the gimmick of, well, you lost some running production, elite running production with Jackson Dart that maybe Austin can't replicate. Let's make sure that we have somebody that could do those things, even though the production is not really there for Pierce Clarkson. Still, he's a dual threat. and he could maybe add to the give Ole Miss a value addition through the running component that they lost with Jackson Dart. So the question for you to start this recruiting crash course, recruiting 101 here on Talk of Champions for me inside the Riverland Roofing Studios. Who are the quarterbacks? How many quarterbacks? What is the quarterback play for Ole Miss in 2025? It could be portal. It could be high schools. It could be both. But when they're targeting, this is a year where they have to add a quarterback.
Yeah.
If not two. And I'm pretty positive from talking to people. They're wanting to add at least two. What is the general, this is where it is for the future of the position now that the future, what was the future has become the present.
The quarterback situation in this 2026 class for Ole Miss is going to be probably one of the biggest storylines out there because, like you said, Ben, they didn't sign one last year. They went out into the portal, but now they have positioned themselves with one of the better quarterbacks in the entire 2026 class, in my opinion, in Landon Duckworth out of Jackson, Alabama. And he's probably target number one in terms of when you look at it from a realistic and a like that balance of realistic versus, you know, top targets, true top guys. This is somebody who is a top 100 prospect in the country nationally, a top 10 quarterback. If you're watching on our YouTube channel, we've started throwing up these recruiting profiles of these players, and we're going to add film here in the future as well. But Landon Duckworth, he's got that ability to make plays both with his feet and his arm. He's a multi-sport guy. He won a state championship, another state championship in basketball recently, and he's really developed his arm talent. And I think that's where you see the encouraging signs for a player that has really blown up over the last year. He was originally committed to South Carolina. He decommitted. He's picked up Georgia. He's picked up Ole Miss. He's picked up a lot of top offers since decommitting. And Ole Miss has really shot, in my opinion, to the top of his list. Ole Miss hosted him. It was the only visit he took in that January open window. They got him in Oxford and were able to really impress him. And I expect them to get an official visit. I would say Florida State, Georgia, South Carolina are involved with him as well. But I think going into the spring, it's safe to say, you talk to anybody, that Ole Miss has set the bar pretty high in this recruitment. But you can never count out a program like Georgia hanging around. You know, they've continuously recruited the position well, not necessarily developed the position that well in a sense, but that's another discussion. So Landon Duckworth is somebody that they've really done a nice job with. And to kind of keep this concise, and we'll talk about a couple of five stars in a second, but you mentioned trying to sign two quarterbacks. Reese Wise out of Austin Westlake High School, a fabled producer of quarterback talent throughout the state of Texas and around the country with some of their history there. Reese Wise is kind of the next up, and he really broke out this year, has been waiting his turn in a sense, has been on the radar for a while, which some of these Texas quarterbacks can be even if they don't start. But, you know, trying to continue the tradition of guys like Drew Brees and Cade Klubnik of you know, continuing that state championship legacy. That's what, you know, Reese Wise wants to finish off his career with. But he was also in Oxford this past month now, I guess, you know, stopping in where he picked up his offer on that unofficial visit to Ole Miss February 1st. And his family just loved it. And really, it stood out to him. He's got two visits set to get back to Ole Miss, one in April for spring practice, and then another, the last official visit weekend of June. And then he's going to trip to Arizona as well. At least those are his announced visits. He's taken some others. He's stopped in at places like Baylor and SMU in Texas and schools around the country. He'll still take some other visits, I would imagine. But right now, if I'm a betting man based on what I've seen and what I've heard from the quarterbacks around the country that Ole Miss is after, if you're looking to place a bet on a two quarterback class, this is my bet. You also get into some of these five stars. You know, Jared Curtis is one who, you know, we've seen, like last cycle with Bryce Underwood and LSU and Michigan, we've seen some flips late. We saw Dante Moore flip from Oregon to UCLA. And just because somebody isn't necessarily having your school or your program at the top of the list right now doesn't mean that can't change. But the one that everybody asks about a lot is Jared Curtis out of Nashville. And right now he is down to Georgia and Oregon. And then you've got Ryder Lyons out of California, who most people don't have Ole Miss in the lead for, but they've hosted him. They've got a teammate of his committed in Jamison Powell in the 2026 class. But now Michigan's really shooting up his list. So that one is going to get a little complicated as well. So we'll continue to watch both of those guys, two five-stars that Ole Miss has been after for a minute. But look, if you can sign two quarterbacks, it's going to be mission accomplished. They really hope that it's Landon Duckworth and I would say Reese Wise at this point. And it's stacking up pretty well for the Rebels to potentially do that.
It's interesting because Ole Miss is in the place now, even though they don't have the quarterback production they have when they went and got Austin Simmons, but they're in that place where, all right, let's find the next guy to start the developmental track. We sometimes forget that Austin has been here for 2 years. He reclassified up two classes. He was 17 when he got on campus. Now, that's pretty unique. I mean, you don't see that happen very much. So they're not going to be able to duplicate necessarily what they did with Austin Simmons. But what you are seeing is very similar as it happened to get Austin Simmons. Ole Miss started out in the Jared Curtis and the Ryder Lyons. I mean, that was the main conversation. Same thing with like Marcel Reed back when he ended up flipping to Texas A&M at Ole Miss and Guggs and gets Austin Simmons. At the end of the day, keep your ear to the ground, because where last year it was about, well, if it's the right guy, this year it's about, no, it's got to be both the right guy and the best guy. And, you know, I think that what the way you lay that out with Reese and specifically Landon Duckworth makes far more sense and seems far more plausible than what we know they've been talking about doing, which is let's get Landon Duckworth in here and Ryder Lyons and let the best man win, because maybe one or both of them you can get out of the portal next year but getting both of them together on that developmental track will be hard. So that's what I've heard too about Landon specifically. They feel the best with him, think he's a stud, feel like it's going and trending in all the right directions, but don't sleep on Reese Wise as well, because that's another player that they think can, you know,
sit. Like, he can sit and he'll be totally okay with that. He comes from like one of the quintessential programs of wait your turn, you're going to be fine, you're going to be a national name, you're going to sign with somebody, and they've produced good quarterbacks. Doesn't mean he'll be that guy, but they just seem like they love Ole Miss, you know, and the visit schedule, at least. I'm not huge on the last visit meaning as much anymore, but it seems like it sure tees up for Reese to end up at Ole Miss. Like, if they get a Landon Duckworth at some point over the next however many months, that would set up for then Reese to maybe jump in the boat after that happens, and then that would, you know, be something that maybe they've talked about with Landon or what have you. So,
because here's part of the calculus too, that can't be forgotten. AJ Maddox was a coveted player coming out of high school. All right, now I don't think AJ Maddox is going anywhere after this year. He's got his brother Anthony, the defensive lineman, now on campus with him, a mid-year enrollee, four-star prospect, both in the state. But let's just say, and it could completely happen because it happened last year, Jackson Dart goes down in the Georgia game. Austin Simmons steps in, performs well. Jackson Dart takes his job back, you know, because Austin was the backup and Jackson was the starter. But if you don't think that schools didn't immediately try to gauge Austin Simmons about, hey, are you happy? Because this is a stud. Imagine that happening with AJ Maddox. So getting numbers in the room, but also setting your room up for the future based off of players that are both realistic and are on the developmental track of your now starter in Austin Simmons. So that for me is their number one recruiting question, is we know they want two quarterbacks. Who are they? Reese Wise and Landon Duckworth. That's more realistic and kind of fits what they're going for. I know everybody wants Ryder Lyons and Landon Duckworth. Or, hey, man, Jared Curtis is going to either Georgia or what's the other one, Ohio State?
Oregon.
Even worse. Yeah. You know, like Oregon.
Let them go all the way out there.
Yeah. Even worse. Ole Miss is doing exactly what you want to see them doing. They're exploring every and all option, but that shows you what is the most important position as far as high school recruiting, not portal, high school recruiting. It's quarterback this year. Last year, that's not what the focus was. This year, it is absolutely quarterback. Now, the second question, because we're going to be jumping around in this recruiting 101, this crash course to bring you up to speed with Mr. Billy Embody, who's going to be handling all the recruiting for us, unless he needs me. You know, unless he calls me and says, hey, Ben, if you hear, I'll help out best I can. But he's the recruiting guy now. Second one, as we jump around, is the spring portal window. It's only 10 days. It's in April. Ole Miss, we think, needs help in the secondary. But as far as your conversations with Ole Miss, because nobody knows, like, for example, Randall Joyner better than Bill. You know, Bill played with him at SMU, for God's sake, you know.
We're playing so, NCAA 10 or whatever it was back in the day.
Yeah. So is it, you know, defensive linemen? Is it a shortage of the secondary? Because I was trying to put it together on the Spirit yesterday as far as the depth chart for the secondary, and it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
Because there aren't any known knowns returning. There isn't, oh, well, John Saunders is still here. Trey Washington is still here. They're replacing everybody. So as far as this April window, what should be the expectation? What should be the target areas that you think Ole Miss is going after? But specifically, does Ole Miss, the Ole Miss fan, need to treat this window a little differently than the fall window? Because it is active. It's the portal. But how it's active and the rules, like, for example, an SEC player like the Tennessee cornerback, starting cornerback, can an Ole Miss sign him? Because I thought there was a rule that SEC, you know, you can't transfer within the SEC in the spring portal. How do all the machinations of this work, and what is the plan?
Yeah, the so the rule that, how I understand it, on the SEC transfer rule is that they need to enter the portal by February 1st, which is kind of strange, but is what it is. And then from what I understand, the player that you're talking about, and of course now I can't find him. I had him up earlier. Yeah, I'll find it here in a second.
No, but I got it right here.
Oh, you got him.
Hold on. Because I've been talking about him forever. Ricky Gibson, starting quarterback. Yeah. For your Tennessee Volunteers, nobody. I mean, I don't know why I said yours. He's from Texas, and I've been at Ole Miss my entire life. Yeah, that news came about a week before the Vols kicked off spring practice on March 7th. So he misses the deadline as far as transferring within conference.
I do wonder, and this is just the crazy thing about the portal or whatever, but I don't know if he's a graduate transfer or what. And I believe if you graduate, you can do whatever you want. I totally could be wrong on that.
No, that is correct. We just don't know if this kid's a graduate or not. If he is, yeah, there's complete freedom of movement with graduates. It doesn't matter.
So most of these guys that you're going to see entering or announcing that they're going into the portal right now across the country are guys who are graduating. And basically, they game the system. They come back. They get into class on day one of the spring, and they go in with coach and they say, hey, coach, thanks a lot. I'm graduating this May. Appreciate all you've done. I'm going to be entering the portal. And they make an announcement like that. Then there's the other time, which is coming up here probably in the next couple of weeks, where you'll see another run of graduate guys going in, and they will be announcing their intentions. And that's because they've been tampered with. So it's just that fun little world. But to get back to your question, your root of this discussion around the spring transfer portal window, I think Ole Miss has to attack this with the same vigor, of course, that they did in December. But it is a different position they're going to be in, because that spring transfer portal window comes in mid-April. You're going to have a good idea by that point of where you stand. Ole Miss is going to be wrapped up with spring ball a couple days into the transfer portal window, at least from what the release schedule says. And that's a good thing. You're going to know what you need in terms of your roster. And they went out this fall in December and got guys like Kapina Gushkin, who I really like. I talked to a couple of coaches who coached against him, and they said he is a problem at the nickel position, just really versatile and has size for it too. You know, listed at least on our site at 6'1", 190. So that's some nice size there at the nickel position. Then you go out and also add a Jalen Braxton, who can play all over. Sage Ryan has played all over. And Antonio Kite, who's going to be here this summer from Auburn, is going to be a late arrival. But those are guys that they wanted to get into campus, you know, three of the four, and just say, okay, where can you play? Where can you help us? Because a guy like Peter Gushkin is, you know, talking with coaches who have coached against him, good enough that they can move him around if they want to. He can maybe play outside. He may maybe play safety. So you've gotten a little bit of like talent influx in there, and some veteran SEC guys, and Kite is coming in the summer. Sage Ryan, who's here this spring, Sage has played all over. That's a good thing. You want guys who are generally familiar with the level that they're playing at or soon to be playing at. Like those guys, you should have a little bit higher expectations for. You hope a fresh start helps them figure things out. Guys like Deshaun Womack, for example, on the defensive line. When you look at how Ole Miss can now attack this spring transfer portal window, it is a phrase that we've said a lot, but we're going to use a lot, and that is right guy, right price. And at the same time, I would say the cornerback or defensive back position is a spot where Ole Miss cannot afford to play a little money ball here.
Like, well, if there's here's where I'm a little different now about it.
Yeah.
If you really look at the roster, Bill, and the way it's laid out, Ole Miss is collecting as much talent as it can and considering the cost and all those things. Yeah. But and they expect to win next year. However, they're leaving them some room for growth. Like, there's certain guys on the roster returning that it's either now or never. TJ Banks. Why would you not give TJ Banks real run this year when you have the ability to take some lumps and knowing that you're not going to go undefeated? Last year's team was the goal was go undefeated, win it all. Yeah. They lost three games. This team, they're going to lose some games because they're so new and they're so young. And at first, even if you just wanted to go with the first year starter at quarterback, you're going to lose some games. Mistakes are going to happen. But being able to see who are the next guys, and they still could expect to compete for the playoff. But
and that's where spring is so important. Like, they're going to get like a little.
They're not going to have a spring game.
I know. But like practice, moving around, like a little bit of physicality, especially like one on ones with receivers, you're going to be able to. See, and that's where it's kind of – we could have a whole nother discussion about, like, camps and high school evals and things like that. People say, oh, it's just the underwear Olympics or whatever. It's like, yeah, but if you see a guy cook, a guy who's considered a five-star defensive back, and he gets exposed, you can see that without pads on, like how they move athletically, how they can cover, how they can do all of those things. And that's where they'll find out some of that on this roster. I think their defensive line is in a great spot. Yeah. I think linebacker, they feel really good about that secondary. I think they're going to see what they have, hope that some of those guys continue to develop. A guy like TJ Banks, you know, they're going to have Mason Dunn eventually. And those guys, I think there is a point where you've got to get to – teams are going to have across the country spots where – whether it be because of rev share or NIL or they spent money elsewhere, they're going to have to say, well, crap, we've got two true freshmen, a redshirt freshman, and a sophomore is not giving us anything at X spot. They got to step up, and it just might have to be how it is. But I think secondary, they'd like to find somebody.
But they're afforded the opportunity to see what TJ Banks can do, see what Nick Cole could do, because – they refortified one. Like, they're always going to be competitive because you already laid it out. Sage Ryan, Antonio, they're all the same player. They can play corner or safety.
Yep.
There's a reason for that. So if Nick Cole's safety isn't ready for prime time, well, then Antonio Kite. But if he is, then Antonio Kite can be the nickel, and then so-and-so can fall into place. That position specifically, they're waiting for some guys that have been on roster to do that thing. And guys that they just added that they're really high on that can get real run as a freshman, like Clardy. There are guys out there that they want to see them, and they have the opportunity this year because they're not – the urgency is always the same, win. But when
win
you
10 games.
When you take off the red and blue glasses and go, oh, well, they better make the dang playoff, well, it's they could still go 9-3 and it'd be more successful than last year. But three losses is three losses. They're in contention for that. But, you know, they're more concerned with putting the the best team together And that starts with finally seeing some returning guys. And what better year to do it than the year when you're replacing everybody? Whether you think they're replacing 16 of 22 starters or 18 of 22. Yeah. Whatever the calculus is for you, either way, they're replacing everybody for the most part. So being able to get Preston Broomfield in, get some run for him in the spring. And if they have to add, they will. But one thing we've learned is they did their largest legwork in the fall. Added a lot. They got the number two class. No matter what you think about, well, they still need secondary help. They added like five dudes, know? Yep. So for me, we have to look at it a little differently where we're like, okay, Walter Nolan's coming in here to shore up or to pair with J.J. Pegues and Jared Ivey. And the only thing you're worried about was, will Sun Tarin give him 10 and a half sacks? And he did. This is less about that. This is more about, who are those guys? We have a lot of these people we think that can be the guys.
Yep.
But now is their time to step. All right, here's the third question for you, Mr. Billy Embody. As Ole Miss heads into this spring recruiting window, as far as high school, back to the high school jump, we talked about the quarterbacks. We now hit on the spring transfer portal coming up. For me, when you look at high school recruiting, where Ole Miss has really failed under Lane Kiffin for 5 years is the development of offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Defensive line's in a great place. Like, they didn't have to really replenish it all that much. They went and got Prince Will and Deshaun Womack, who had less production and more upside. But they're going with Jeffrey Rush and Cam Franklin and William Eccles, where on the defensive line, they set themselves up for both the present and the future. The offensive line, that's where they've really struggled in both areas, if you want to go that way. So for me, am I wrong to assume, as you know, I'm the proxy for the Ole Miss fan, am I wrong to assume right now that offensive line is the second most important position high school wise this year? And do they got to prove something a little bit? You know, because I feel like that's the one spot where they just haven't delivered on the promise. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you come here, you're gonna sit for a couple years, and you're the guy. That guy never shows up. Now, maybe that's Cam East finally this year, but offensive line for me, this is a really, to kind of contextualize, this is more of a put up or shut up year for Ole Miss in its offensive line evaluation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Before I get to that answer, we're going to drop a little bit of knowledge on our friend Andy Ludeke, who's protecting your future and a little bit of Ole Miss's future in the NIL space. If you partner with him at myperfectfranchise.net, if you partner with Andy on a franchise, he will then contribute money back to Ole Miss Collective, the Grove Collective, and help out the baseball team. That's one of his big passions is college baseball. And so Andy Ludeke wants to help you find the franchise that works for you and your family, whether you want to establish a legacy, whether you want to get out of the corporate rat race. MyPerfectFranchise.net can help you do that. Give him a call, 404-973-9901. Or email him, Andy, A-N-D-Y, at myperfectfranchise.net. So appreciate his support of the Ole Miss spirit. But back to the offensive line. And, of course, Riverland Roofing, as always. The little house on the screen there.
It's no longer up top.
On the screen, it's up
top. In Ben's hand.
Yeah. Ben's got the whole world in his hand.
The whole little house.
The Ole Miss offensive line position is one that that's a big spring storyline on the field for Lane Kiffin, John Garrison, that whole crew. But on the recruiting trail, it is also a big storyline because the state of Mississippi is stacked with offensive line talent, a really impressive group that continues to, I think, really surprise some people, you know, now that we've seen a reclassification. We've seen some more players emerge. And we'll talk a little bit about some of those key guys here. Hayden Ainsworth is probably the newsiest guy as of late because he did reclassify from the class of 2027 into the class of 2026. And he is a really good-looking offensive lineman, in my opinion. Just somebody out of Biloxi that I think has the frame that you really like and he's a really smart kid, and that's what went into this when talking with our on three staff and you know, just kind of digging more into why he wanted to do this. He wanted to do it because he's a smart kid and he feels like he can do it. And he's got a 4.0 and he's great on and off the field, and Alabama and Florida State and Mississippi State and Ole Miss, they're all coming after him and they're all trying to make it happen that they end up, you know, having him on campus when it's all said and done. But he's been at Ole Miss a number of times. He's going to take a bunch of visits this spring and then jump right into official visits. And for him, I think you're going to see Ole Miss win this battle. I mean, that's kind of my early take on it. And sometimes these sped up recruitments can, you know, get a little interesting. But when you look at what he's been able to do as far as take visits to Ole Miss and kind of his recruitment as a whole, I just think the Rebels have really been, you know, firm in holding a lot of momentum in this recruitment. So again, he's going to take a bunch of visits, but I like where things stand with him. And then, you know, we love talking about flips when it comes to recruiting. And of course, got to mention your boy out of New Albany, or at least not your boy right now, Emmanuel Tucker, who is committed to Mississippi State right now, Ben. But he's a four-star prospect. He is a quintessential what you look for offensive tackle in terms of size and length and athleticism. But he's somebody that's going to sit for a bit. But the Bulldogs do hold his commitment right now. Whatever. As we like to say in recruiting, long way to go there. We'll see if Ole Miss can turn things around. The coaching staff did go and see him. But that's the great thing about the state of Mississippi is there are a ton of players that they can go out and get. And on the opposite end of the spectrum from Emmanuel Tucker is Mitchell Smith, 6'5", 6'4", 325 pounds out of Picayune Memorial, and a really talented player here who is teammates with Nolan Wilson, the elite defensive lineman out of there. And he's been to Oxford a number of times. He's a little quiet, but, you know, I think Ole Miss is at least in and around his top schools. I think Florida and LSU are the two biggest challengers here for him right now. But he is going to get over to Ole Miss. We talked about that in our big deep dive at the Ole Miss Spirit. You can join for just $1 for your first week to read all the recruiting intel we're putting together. And when we close out recruiting talk, Ben, we can kind of talk about how the recruiting industry is changing and why we think we're a good spot for people to read. But Mitchell is going to swing through Baton Rouge swing through Baton Rouge. He's going to swing through Florida. He's going to swing through Ole Miss as well. And he's going to be one of the more traveled individuals on this year's recruiting trail when it comes to the state of Mississippi. So I expect him to get back through in the spring. And he and I have been talking about his visit plans as well. But you also got Bryson Cooley out of West Jones, who's been on Ole Miss's campus. I think they're in a much better position than they were entering 2025. They've hosted him. They sit in a good spot. You also have out of Lexington, Mississippi, Donnell Robinson, a 6'5", 280-pounder who looks the part. He's a top 30 interior offensive lineman in the country on the On3 industry ranking. And then you have Aiden Newell out of Brandon, Mississippi, teammates with Preston Ashley, who was a brief Jackson State commit, but is planning to get over to Ole Miss here pretty soon. He just seems like with him, he's kind of one of those players that it'll kind of be last minute when he'll pop in or pop out of a campus. But he does want to visit Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and others, and we'll see kind of where things go with him. But I actually, just kind of diving into him a little bit more, really like his body type for a guard. Just seems like a super stouty, just not fire hydrant because he's 6'4", but just like a kind of a beast along the interior. So could be a big old left guard, right guard, could pack on to 340 or so if he wanted in the SEC and move people around. And then lastly, Dalton Toothman out of Van Cleve is another
great name.
Great offensive lineman name, all name team right from the jump. But Ole Miss, it was interesting. I was doing some research on him and kind of basically hitting up all the offensive linemen on Ole Miss's board and kind of getting their visit plans, getting to know them a little bit more. And Dalton was really interesting. You know, he has been to Ole Miss a good amount of times, but it was kind of quiet in terms of when he was going to get back. And he told me, look, I'm coming back for spring. And then he's got an official visit lined up June 6th. He's also visiting Auburn. He's visiting Mississippi State. He's visiting Baylor. So this is one that could go a number of ways, I would say. But it seems like all four of those programs that I mentioned are doing a good job. But he's also visiting Clemson actually this weekend. They've not offered, but if Clemson offers, I would say keep an eye on the Tigers there. They don't offer many players. They like to offer people in person. And it just seems like him going over there for, I think he got there or goes there today and then stays for like 4 or 5 days. So if they offer, I mean, that's something to keep an eye on there. But yeah, really good kid, young man that I enjoyed talking with a little bit about his recruitment. But yeah, the state of Mississippi is loaded. And, you know, it's a good time to be on the Spirit and keeping track of it because they've also got some good out-of-state talent as well thereafter.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Number one, it's very early for Emmanuel Tugger. Number one. Very early. Number two, he is a developmental offensive lineman.
Yep.
I mean, they spent the first couple years of his football career in New Albany trying to figure out what he was. I mean, I thought he was an edge. They've had him at left tackle. He looks kind of clunky, or did look kind of clunky. Now he's settling in, because that's typically what happens. So he's not one that's going to step in and start next year for Mississippi State or Ole Miss. I think it's going to be Ole Miss. But he is one that you want to get into the system and get going. And again, Billy played that exactly how I wanted him to. He didn't even know I was going to ask him that question, but it plays into Mississippi recruiting this year. That's what it does. Because Ole Miss, as far as offensive line developmentally, they could build out their entire offensive line class in Mississippi. But
100%.
You're going to run into, well, what have you done for me lately? And Ole Miss, that's the one knock against it on the trail. I don't think it's not getting used against them. It's like, yeah, do y'all really do that, though? Where's Preston Cushman now? Where's Cam East is still on, but where's Kavion Broussard? So while in theory they can absolutely build out their entire offensive line class in state, it's easier said than it is done for Ole Miss this year because of reputationally what they've got to overcome. But I still think that Ole Miss is going to clean up. The point of it is all of that and framing it like that is this. Mississippi, this is one of those years in Mississippi where Ole Miss has to get more than it doesn't. This is a year where Ole Miss needs to plant its flag with a class that is one of the deepest we've seen in quite some time, arguably one of the deepest in modern era of Mississippi recruiting. Ole Miss needs to, especially in a year where they can sell, come in and help immediately. I mean, look at that. Tristan Keys, they're after him. They want him, absolutely. I mean, they're going all out for him. But I'm looking at, down the board there. And you could build out a top 20, top 15, top 10 class, or at least the core of it, right here. I mean, we all know about Jerralyn McCoy, the defensive line from Tupelo. They won't. I mean, you could go about 15, 20 deep with this class by itself and the quality of the talent. But, you know, Ole Miss has always competed with the states and the LSUs and the Auburns and the Alabamas. Mississippi gets picked apart. Arkansas even gets picked apart by its bordering states. Ole Miss being the program that has won 10 games three times in the last 4 years on the precipice of true competition for a national title and competing for the college football playoff. They have a lot to sell, but there is a black mark on their resume. It's Aiden Williams is a Mississippi State Bulldog now. And this year in Mississippi, these recruits, this is a year to really lay down the flag and say, well, we are the banner. We are the banner program. We are the one that, you know, they always get their share. But I'm talking about in this Mississippi class, if you really, you know, walk in what you're talking, go build it out. Go lock down these great. This great high school in-state class, get the majority and, you know, fill it out around them from there. I mean, can you imagine a class with Landon Duckworth and Tristan Keys with an offensive line group of 4 or 5 from state that can sit for a couple years? There's a lot to like about this class. So is Ole Miss in a good position for Mississippi, you know, writ large, or is it a work in progress? Who's got the foothold? Because typically that's how State would build out its entire roster, is just going to get as many in-state kids as possible. They're now portal dipping too. For Ole Miss, where are they just overall with a pretty historically good in-state class? Are they sitting okay?
Yeah, I would say it's an interesting place that they're in right now. And here's why. You have, and we saw, if you're watching on YouTube, the top 30 recruits in Mississippi that we ran down. If you go to On3 or you go to Ole Miss Spirit, you can find it. And you look at that top 10, and that top 10 Ole Miss is either, you know, in great shape for, or they got a lot of work to do. Like Tristan Keys is somebody that they're really hoping to get back on campus. He's not far. Of course, he can do that. But, I mean, there's no official visit plan. He's not like Caleb Cunningham, in my opinion, in the sense that, like, you know, he really even talks up Ole Miss. You know, that
well, Caleb didn't all recruiting. Like, Caleb didn't do it till, I mean, Ole Miss didn't become real. Like, he talked about him, he included him, but he was all Bama. He was all State. Yeah. I mean, that man committed and flipped and flopped, and then Ole Miss became serious. Like,
100%. Yeah. But he gave them their, like, flowers. I just don't, unless you ask Tristan Keys about Ole Miss, like, he's not going to bring them up, at least, you know, from what we've seen. Now, that's a prime example. A lot of time, though, because mm-hmm. he's been around the program, and he sees what the offense is. So there's not, like, this, you're not in dire straits, and part of the reason why you're not in dire straits, in a sense, is because Jace Matthews is also in state. Mm-hmm. You know, you can,
and they love Jace Matthews.
Jace Matthews is a dog. I mean, On3 moved him all the way up. If you're watching on YouTube, and I don't know when Rivals did theirs or whatever, but On3 now has him in 5-star range. Like, if the rankings ended tomorrow, he'd be a 5-star. And that would mean Mississippi would have 2 5-star receivers, I'll add, and 3 5 or 4 5-star prospects overall. But this is a player that reminds our ranking staff of Brandon Ayuk. And if those of you aren't familiar with his story, Google it. He's now with the 49ers, but he came from nothing in JUCO and just turned his career into stardom. And part of that is being an absolute just workaholic dog out there on the field. And that's what Jace Matthews is, a really productive player on his actual production, like doesn't have an insane amount of catches or anything like that, but made the most of them. So really, really talented player there that Ole Miss is in a great position for, I would say them and Auburn right there for him. But so, like, you can look at Mississippi recruiting, and this is kind of a microcosm of it. You can look at Mississippi recruiting, and you can see Tristan Keys where they have some work to do. You can see Jace Matthews where they're in, I would say, great position for two guys that are 5-stars right now. And you go down to the next two that are still in 5-star range, Nolan Wilson, the you know, in 5-star range defensive lineman from Picayune Memorial, and then Braylon Womack out of Hartfield Academy in Brandon. And again, kind of opposite end of the spectrum. Most people think Ole Miss is in a really strong position for Nolan Wilson. They're battling other programs there, Alabama, LSU, and others. But then Braylon Womack, on the other hand, looks like he's going to go out of state at this point. He's been to Ole Miss. He's visited a bunch. But we'll see. You know, that's the beauty of, you know, the amount of time. Like, we are sitting here the first week in March, and guys are about to take visits and do those type of things over the course of spring. And they might pop through campus, and then they might get them back in the mix a little bit. But so that top 10 that
say, forgive me for interrupting briefly, but you said Nolan Wilson. I'm not trying to gas your guy up, but nobody has crushed their recruiting position more for Ole Miss consistently for the last however many years than Randall Joyner. I mean, Nolan Wilson is an absolute stud. He's one that comes in, and I mean, and here's the thing. We talk all about the lack of development of offensive linemen and stuff like that and how it's being used against Ole Miss. The defensive line is the polar opposite. You talk about different sides of the spectrum, you know, completely different sides here. Randall Joyner has proof of concept with Jamarius Brown, with Xavier Harris, not just Princely Umon Mielen coming over as a hired gun, or Jared Ivey coming over being a 3-year starter from Georgia Tech, or pick your guy, J.J. Pegues coming over from Auburn. He's developed too. I mean, Jam Brown is a stud. Z Harris is an absolute stud. Suntarian Perkins, absolute stud. He's found the balance Randall has as far as his own position group and kind of what you want to see across the board. Now, that's dang near impossible to get that kind of consistency, both with high school and transfer recruiting in the production mixed in across the board. But Ole Miss has done it with the defensive line and shown what they could be as far as their depth chart through Randall's position specifically. Jerelyn McCoy, you get him with a Nolan Wilson to pair with what they already have, which Jeffrey Rush was an in-state kid. Sed Beavers was an in-state kid. Cam Franklin was the number one recruit in Mississippi, right? Xavier Harris, Mississippi. Jam Brown, Mississippi. That's where if like Ole Miss, he deserves his credit. Randall Joyner has been exactly what Ole Miss has needed him to be for the, and then with really what they want to model all of their positions after in terms of how they build out their roster. They want to have development. They want to have in-state dominance. They want to have a transfer impact, and none have been a better example of what their overall, what they love to do across the board than with Randall's position. Last one, here we go, because we got to get a few more quick team things before we get out of here. Last one, portal, spring portal, over under. I'm setting the over under of transfers added at 3.5. You going over or under?
I'm gonna go over.
Ooh,
I'm gonna go over.
I was wondering if 3.5.
I would say 4. I think 4. I don't know. And maybe this is the final kick of the leg to knock down the whole transfer portal, you know, not mindset, but like, it's clear Ole Miss wants to recruit high school better. Lane mm-hmm. said that. They have Billy Glasscock doing a great job. They have Alex Brown. They built out this personnel department. They have a good coaching staff that is, you know, works well together on recruiting. And they signed a top 20 class this year. Like they want to improve the high school recruiting. That said, this could be, if my prediction is wrong or whatever, I would say that's kind of the final maybe kick the leg out of, you know, everybody talking about Ole Miss as a transfer portal school. Like I think then you have this opportunity with 26 to sign a big class, develop the ones you sign in 25, and then those are your transfers in. Is the 25 guys being the true foundation, stepping up, being developed, all of those things.
Just like the defensive line this year.
Yeah, and yes, exactly, exactly. And so you've got this chance to do that, and maybe if you only take one and it's a defensive back, it's like, all right, we feel great about our roster, and we're going to ride with the guys we've got, we're going to ride with the guys we develop, and we're going to do that starting now and beyond with our high school recruiting and then plug holes in with transfers as needed. Like Ole Miss is retaining. They did a great job retaining guys. And people don't give enough credit for that in this transfer portal era. Like you can lose guys that aren't going to play or weren't going to pan out or whatever. And they can come with storylines or questions or whatever. But man, when you retain the guys that you want to keep, like that is the name of the game. It's going to save you money in the long term. And it's a good sign of the program's culture and direction. So I hope my prediction's wrong, but I could see it maybe being.
I'm going over 3.5. I almost said it at 4.5 because I was going to go under with that one because I'm around 4. But you're absolutely right. To put a button on this nice recruiting conversation that we've had here, Ole Miss does want to be more proficient in its high school recruiting. Not necessarily go from top 20 to top 10 overnight, but definitely go from top 20 to the top 15 and still sign your number 2 transfer class. And it's that blend, it's that mix that Ole Miss is going for. But I think a renewed emphasis on locking down certain areas in high school, like offensive line, defensive line, that's the proof of concept I'm talking about. Exactly what happened this year with Princely and JJ and Jared, they all started. Suntarian finally gets his run as a sophomore. He was awesome. But the reason why Ole Miss is in a good place for next year is because of high school signees yep. that they've developed. And can't, how do you do that across the board? They haven't been having that kind of success in the secondary. They're hoping Brian Brown and, I mean, Pete, and they're going to get defensive players. I'm not concerned about it. Point is that if you're looking for what we're talking about, what Ole Miss strategically would like to do, you know, for its entire team, the defensive line and how it's played out, the production balanced with the development, balanced with adding players to, you know, if this group balls out this year, but I don't know, pick your guy, some that their 3 tech just wasn't that great interior push. Well, that's where they go add to the room with the transfer, knowing also that they have the Nolan Wilsons coming and stuff like that. So this year, I think, is huge for Ole Miss specifically in planting its flag in Mississippi and taking a step as far as reputationally, not just as, oh, that's transfer you. I'll go like, you know, Deuce Knight's probably like, oh, I'll go to Auburn now and then I'll transfer to Ole Miss in a year. You know what I mean? Like, that's the consideration. So can you get them in the boat to start and then also give them a pathway? Because Aiden Williams, he had a pathway, but it just didn't work out for him. So that's your recruiting 101. You have been refreshed. You have been told, because Billy and Body, I'm pointing the wrong way, Mr. Billy and Body over there, he is the recruiting guy for us at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com and affiliate on three. And Talk of Champions is always brought to you by Riverland Roofing. All right, before we get out of here, we got some team stuff going on. I'll leave it to you, and I will allow you to press to me and press upon me what you need to know.
Before we do that, Ben, want to remind you guys to head to statusjet.com. Plan out some of your Ole Miss trips for baseball. You know, this is a great way to travel with friends, with family, take clients to some of those hard-to-get-to places or places you want to get in and out of easily and in style with Status Jet. Go to statusjet.com today and book your trip with them. I mean, there's a lot of options. You know, Gainesville is a pain to get to. Maybe you want to go see that at some point, you know, down the line, or Norman, wherever on the Ole Miss baseball schedule you want to get to. By the way, the Ole Miss baseball schedule, they keep those locations in really tiny type. But the Status Jet crew will get you there and do it with a discount as well. So,
see, I'm wondering if Status Jet will fly you and me for this low, low price of on the house to like the Manning Passing Academy.
Like on the Riverland house. Like
on the Riverland house. You know, because I want to fly like that and like pull up to the Manning Passing Academy, like land right there at Nickel State or something like that. They're like, who the heck is this? Oh, yeah, it's Spirit Ben.
He's jumping off his jet. We're jumping off ours. Yeah. They will. Talk about tough places to get to.
Don't tease me with a good time, because I will be like one of those Instagram influencers. You put me on a private jet. I'll be doing the whole thing, like the candid shot where I'm looking away like, oh yeah, this is my life. I'll do all that stupid shit. I have no problem with crap. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, Status Jet, support them. Riverland. Yep. All of my perfect franchise, all of them power what we do. And we're so thankful to be serious that we were very thankful. And I couldn't say enough about Riverland. They just meant so much to me. And Billy and I went to Nashville to speak to On Three on Monday about some stuff. So big things in the works, man. Big things in the works.
All right. Spring football, a couple weeks away now. Spring break ahead for Ole Miss this weekend. So they'll get back. They'll get right to work. I like that, first of all. That, you know, it's all kind of continuous, and we can say what we want about spring practice and what it'll look like. But do you have any players that you mentioned earlier, like now or never?
Mm.
Whose player, which, pick a player on each side of the ball that is starting that now or never journey?
There are so many. There are so many. But to start on offense, the first position that I'm looking to, it's not necessarily now or never, but they need somebody to step up. And I think Shekai Mills-Knight not being a mid-year enrollee, it hurts them. It's something that's disappointing, because you wanted to see the full capability of your room. So this spring, I'm not saying it's do or die for him, but Keewon Lacy has the potential to answer a really big question for Ole Miss. He has a real potential to establish a role early. Especially with Trey Hall now out for the year. Logan Diggs, how healthy is he? He did look like he was coming around in the Gator Bowl against Duke in his first run of the year last year after suffering an ACL injury in LSU's bowl game before transferring to Ole Miss. Logan could lead the room, but really, as far as upside and what could take this team from one level to another, I think Keewon Lacy is one of those type of players. So I really look forward to seeing him in the spring. But as far as do or die for Ole Miss offensive players, it's not necessarily a returning guy that you're – I mean, Austin Simmons would be easy to pick, but you're going to have to ride the lumps with a breaking in the starting quarterback. I mean, Jackson Dart wasn't flawless. He was really good in his first year. There's going to be a little bit of this. You got to ride that way. For me, it's less about a returning player than a transfer that they added that they loved but has some questions he has to answer. Caleb Odom. Caleb Odom should have done more for Alabama last year. Caleb Odom is all the talent in the world. He's just like Trey Harris, but just like him. But Ole Miss signed him not to be one of those guys that's just feeling his way out. He needs to be good from jump. He needs to come in and step in and establish a role. This is not necessarily do or die, put up or shut up for Caleb Odom, but of all the players on offense that could, when you consider what their role could be, the lack of production or the questions about them, whether it be coming up through the high school ranks or coming over to Ole Miss from Alabama in the case of Caleb Odom, he has to be good. They need him to grab a role and grab it immediately because, again, there was ample opportunity last year for him at Alabama, and why didn't he produce? So I think Caleb Odom would be my offensive guy. Defensive guy, I could go with TJ Banks. I could go with Nick Cole. I could go with Tyler Banks at linebacker. But I'm going to go on the defensive line mainly because I think if Xavien Harris, who was amazing last year, but if he takes another step, if he is that Mount Cody presence in the middle of Ole Miss's defensive line, what it opens up for the rest of them is huge. This is not put up or shut up. He's already put up. My point is that Xavien Harris could go to a whole nother level that transforms this team from competitive to whatever that next level might be. As far as putting up, I got to see TJ Banks. I got to see Chris Graves, the transfer from Miami. Cornerback for me is the question I have. Jalen Braxton, we thought he was signed to replace Trey Amos. I've heard he's playing a lot of safety. Again, that positional versatility, the same with Sage Ryan, Antonio Kite, Washington State cornerback transfer. All of these guys have versatility to play across the defensive secondary, but what their roles are dependent upon guys like TJ Banks, who it's his time. It's his time to step up and play, or a Broomfield, or pick your freshman coming in, a Clardy. There are guys that are returning or that they sign, not the transfer type, that could really establish roles, help establish what Ole Miss could be just by emerging in the spring. TJ Banks, if he could lock down a cornerback spot, what that would do for filling out the rest of the defensive backfield. Or you could pick a player. It doesn't have to be TJ Banks. It could be Nick Cole at safety, a junior this year. I mean, it's a junior time for Nick Cole. And he got in the Gator Bowl, and they really liked him coming out, and he stayed. It reminds me a lot of Trey Washington. Can he step into Trey Washington's spot and really continue that strong productivity, that strong production? Those are the guys for me. But if you were looking at one position group, Bill, I'm looking at the offensive line. At the offensive line. I'm looking at cornerbacks and secondary, obviously, but I'm looking at the offensive line because if Jaden Williams isn't healthy, if Diego Pounds isn't healthy, if Patrick Coote isn't healthy, there's a lot of questions coming behind them. So that's the whole spring framework. Now I wonder, however, how much we're going to actually learn, because Ole Miss is not going to have a spring game, Bill. It's not going to have a spring game. No one's having spring games anymore. Bring on OTAs. But spring is starting up, and Ole Miss probably isn't going to have a spring game, probably another Grove Bowl games. My question to you, Bill, is there one player in particular that you're most looking forward to seeing in the spring because you're coming over? My man lives in Dallas, does Billy Embody. He's coming over to get his first real taste of Ole Miss spring football. Is there anybody in particular you, sir, are looking forward to seeing, or are you just kind of going to play it by ear? Because for me, I've laid it out. I want to see TJ Banks. I want to see Nick Cole. I want to see running backs, specifically Kewon Lacy. I would love to see the offensive line. Jaden Williams, a healthy Jaden Williams. You're not going to see that in the spring. There's so many questions about it. But is there anybody for you, Bill, that you're looking forward to seeing? Or are you just going to let me ramble and talk the whole time?
I am really looking forward to seeing Dejon Stribling, the Oklahoma State transfer wide receiver. Yep. And I just have really high expectations for him. You know, that Oklahoma State team is kind of a mess the last year in particular.
And he still put up.
And he still put up, you know, still productive, still one of the more physically impressive looking transfers that they brought in, especially on offense. Like, just, I mean, he's a grown man. I mean, he's ready to go. I'm really interested to see how much we can see from him, to your point about spring practice overall. But, you know, he's expected to be that dude on the outside. And I've heard some really good things about him just overall and what he's bringing to the table. He didn't do the recruiting process with really much fanfare or anything, which I appreciate. You know, we just kind of learned about him visiting through sources and then that he had committed. And I think he posted like a month later that he was committed or whatever. So I like the way he goes about his business. I've heard good things. I'm really excited to see him Hopefully get out there and watch him work out and do some of those things, but we'll see. And then on the offensive line, you know, I'm really high on Patrick Kudus. I've heard some good things about him as
well. Has to be good.
I think if you're looking for maybe a hot take, he's going to be the center. I don't know if that's a hot take or whatever.
I think it's a hot take because I think Bryson Sanders is the center.
There's a lot of that. And I think
that's one. There we go. There's my put up or shut up guy for the spring for offense. That's not a transfer because Caleb Odom has to have a good spring.
Yeah.
There are questions about Caleb Odom. I mean, I love the talent, but what is he? Bryson Sanders was recruited and signed and developed to be their starting center. Yep. This whole offensive line conversation we've had, that's a perfect encapsulation.
Yep.
If it's Patrick Kudus instead of Bryson Sanders, that creates another hole.
Yep.
If they start next year with transfer across the offensive line, I think that would be a failure.
Yep.
That's my opinion. If Bryson Sanders or whoever it is, Cam East, one of their developmental offensive linemen isn't starting on day one, to me, that's a failure.
I'll give you a group on defense since offensive line. I want to watch the linebackers, and in particular, I want to watch the new linebackers, and here's why. So, and this is maybe a flaw to an extent, but numbers generally back up that players from group of five or lower levels don't normally keep up their production level at a much higher level of football, like an SEC and a Big Ten. So there's some data around if you're all conference at your lower level, the odds of you doing that type of a production at the SEC, Big Ten, you know, type of ACC level are much lower. And maybe that's just, well, no duh, but it's actually kind of backed up now at this point. So the linebacker room, Ole Miss went Taj Chambers from Missouri State, Andrew Jones from Grambling.
Highest graded transfer right there.
And Jaden Yates from Marshall. On paper, love the versatility, love the difference in body types, love the production from all three players. How they fit in the SEC is probably one of the bigger questions I have for Ole Miss. And this spring, getting a look at them, getting a feel for what sources are saying in terms of how they move around.
Funny thing, Bill, you haven't been here all that long, man, but the funny thing is I've been here way too long. The running joke for Ole Miss recruiting was, well, can they play linebacker? And now you go into this year in the one position where they're well-stocked is linebacker. T.J. Dottery returns. Terry Dottery's a hybrid. Yep. But I love the guys they've added there. And then that's a good point, though, because there is a lot of new. Chris Poupaw was their leading tackler. That group matters. But for me, we know what Ole Miss can do with transfers. We know they're going to get production from the transfers. Yep. But in a year where – there are so many more unknowns and where the range of outcomes is so significantly different than it was in last year. What could happen? What will happen? You know, for me, I'm eyeballing so many guys that have been here that you've been waiting on because now Ole Miss has a problem. Those guys that, oh, well, wait, Aiden's coming. Well, no, now he's at Mississippi State. You know what I mean? Oh, don't worry. Braylon Brown, he's showing out. Well, no, Braylon, he's a 4-star wide receiver. He went somewhere else. Yep. Pick your guy. And for me, I think that's the one thing left for Lane Kiffin to kind of not necessarily figure out. I think they figured out most of it. It's just to a consistent productivity from that line of talent, you know, accumulation, if you will.
Yep. I completely agree. All right. Last thing before we wrap up, Ole Miss, Tennessee basketball, 8 p.m. Central, ESPN2. Last time we talked,
terrible matchup.
Yeah, we said, I don't know if they're going to get this one done against Auburn. You know, they ended up getting it done against Oklahoma, but this is a different beast.
It is. I think they can win it. I think they needed to get some success. So beating Oklahoma mattered for a number of reasons. They're a better team. But Oklahoma also still, despite only like four league wins, top 50 in the net or something. I mean, they're a good team. Every team in the SEC this year is a competitive basketball team. I don't care about South Carolina's record. I don't care about LSU's record. Both of those teams, you put them in another conference, they would be right there in contention for the bubble. Ole Miss is a good basketball team. They're playing in the toughest league to ever exist in college basketball. So there was going to be a gut check moment for them. It came with that Oklahoma game where they could have been beaten by a team that is capable, that went undefeated or something crazy in the non-con, beat quality teams, but the SEC is an absolute beast, to where Ole Miss found ways to get to that 9-win number. Oklahoma, man, it's just been brutal because they're right there in every single game. They're right there with Ole Miss, 87-84. It took a big shot from Sean Padula. For Ole Miss, this is not an Oklahoma show. For Ole Miss, the getting the result is what mattered. They can beat anybody they play except Auburn because, you know, unless Auburn's checked out like they were yesterday and Texas A&M was hungry, Auburn is talented enough to beat everybody. And if they decide they want to – if they play to their peak capability, they're going to beat you probably. But Ole Miss, the style of play that it plays, its defensive efficiency, its defensive prowess, on top of finding a lead scorer in Sean Padula who isn't afraid or doesn't defer in those moments. This is a team that's built for a March run, but it's all about playing your best basketball as you're going toward the end of February, now into March, and Ole Miss was playing its worst. So getting that result was important. Now I want to see, was that just – the outlier game like it was in 2018, 2019 when they went to Missouri and won the one game to say, okay, it's all good. They're going to the tournament. They're going to the tournament. But that Missouri win, that's the last win they had. They lost their last game. They lost in the SEC tournament. They went to the NCAA tournament. Oklahoma beat the crap out of them. Where it was, the game was over within the first 6 minutes. Is Ole Miss going to be that team or the team that we saw for most all of the year that, like Malik Diaz said, after the win over Alabama, at Alabama, the first top five win over or the first program win over a top five opponent on the road in history, we believe we can make the Final Four. That sounds lofty, but look at what they've done. It's hard to argue. It's like, yeah, sure, of course they could. Look at the things they do well and how they've held up. Is this a team that can win more games than anybody else over 6 weeks? Probably not, but they can make a real run. Is the point, and they were trending more toward, oh, just getting into the tournament's a nice little story, you know, because, oh, Ole Miss is back in the tournament. Yay, that's not how Beard and them think. So that's how we're supposed to think, too. It's not about just getting in the tournament. They're in a tournament. It's about actually being competitive and being a team that can make a run, and you can't do that when you're just everywhere. It's like, it was like they were a sieve, man. I mean, they was plugging holes everywhere that were just – it didn't need to be plugged necessarily because, like, why is Sean Padula turning the ball over five times in a game? That's day one stuff for Ole Miss. They don't turn the ball over. That's why they were good. They didn't turn the ball over. If they don't turn the ball over, if they become what we used to see, I have no worries about this Ole Miss team. I think they can match the greatest accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history, one single Sweet 16 appearance. I think that team can do this, no doubt about it. But they had to get that result. So I think they can go compete with Tennessee. It's just a bad matchup for them personnel-wise because Ole Miss doesn't have physicality at the rim. However, yeah, they could beat Tennessee. They're probably not going to. I mean, Tennessee owns Ole Miss in basketball. They won like 9 of the last 10, 4 straight.
They're really good in general. So
yeah, and they just beat up Ole Miss. They always do. So I'm not worried about the result of this game. What needed to happen, happened. If they win against Tennessee, you're like, oh, yeah, they're back. The win over Oklahoma was exactly what they needed just to say, oh, we're still the same team. Just play to what we do well. They kind of got out of their strengths for a long time there, a little stretch there. It really kind of shit the bed.
All right. We'll find out. 8 p.m. Central, ESPN2. We'll be watching Senior Night.
A.M., bro.
I watched my SB Mustang last night, 8 p.m. I walked out of there at 11:20. I was like, golly.
Yeah.
This is why, like, you know, this is why you hire somebody to go to the press conference and just hang out and watch or whatever. Like, woo.
We're late old, night. Man. Like, 8 o'clock sounds like when I'm telling my daughters, my beautiful, perfect daughters right behind me. Oh, see, I went the wrong way again. My perfect daughters behind me. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock, girls. It's bedtime.
Yeah.
Not tipping off, man.
Dad's got to drive to Oxford. Get in bed.
Yeah. I'm going to be heading to Oxford, Mississippi. Watch the Ole Miss Rebels. Or no, do they play on the road? They're at Tennessee. Where are we? What is it?
It's home finale tonight.
Finale. Duh. They're recognizing all their seniors. Jamin Brake. They got 10 seniors, man. Jamin Brake.
I thought for some reason it was Saturday against Oklahoma, but then I checked the schedule and I was like, and then read your How to Watch story. And I was like, oh, they are at home.
Yes. Pretty sure of that, but I knew that. I wrote the dang story. I'm so stupid. I'm just an idiot. But anyway, 10 seniors, go support him. Matthew Morrell played the most minutes of any Ole Miss Rebel ever. Jamin Brakefield. What a story he's been. He played 4 years at Ole Miss. 4 years after transferred over from Duke. He's not a hired gun. He, like, look what he, when he gets done, look at the record books of where he sits, and they deserve to be celebrated, even if the matchup is kind of funky. But, you know, it really has meant a lot to them how Ole Miss fans have supported them this year. So one more opportunity, even if it's a crap matchup. This is a team headed to the – like barreling toward the NCAA tournament with 10 seniors and two program tenured guys in Matthew Morrell and Jamin Brakefield. Give them some love, man, because Ole Miss fans aren't used to this kind of contention, right? I mean, nine NCAA tournament appearances all time in their 100-plus year history. So celebrate this team, man, and go support them tonight. And whether they win or lose is immaterial. They're going to the NCAA tournament. Let's just make sure that Ole Miss is still progressing instead of going the other way like they had been for a month, man. I mean, like the wins over LSU and South Carolina, the comebacks were great, Bill. They were great. But then when you put them against the backdrop of what they did in the other games, you're like, oh, that doesn't seem as impressive, you know? That doesn't seem as gritty like a team that just figuring out a way to win. That just seems like a team that's been playing crappy and had to scrap and claw just to survive. They drop either of those two games, this is a different conversation, you know? So, support Ole Miss basketball tonight, man, and it should be a special time. Unfortunately, it tips off at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Support them. Support Riverland Roofing, Status Jet, My Perfect Franchise. Appreciate all of you guys watching on YouTube, listening, wherever you catch the podcast at. Appreciate all of you at Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. Sign up for just $1 for your first week. We'll be there chatting about the game tonight. So enjoy it. Catch you guys next time on another live stream of Talk of Champions. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Unbody. Catch you guys next time.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.